भगवते वासुदेवाय dedicates two entire chapters for the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, which is not very much. We know that the whole 10th canto with some 88 chapters is dedicated to the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Only two of the 9th canto are dedicated to the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. There's a very interesting reason which Shukadev Goswami himself explains. The reason is that the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra are very, very well known. More known, perhaps, than the pastimes of Krishna. This is what Shukadev Goswami says. Tasyano charitam rajan rishibhis tatpata rishibhi shutam hi vanitam buddhi tvayasita patermuhu. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by many great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. It's so known. And this is very encouraging. The pastimes of Lord Ramachandra have been spread throughout millennia. Through the great saints who have describe them in parampara, but also some saints have by what is called vidusha pratyaksha, that means a direct vision, seen the pastimes and have added details which were not yet known before to the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. For instance, we know of the great Saint Tulsi, in whose heart the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra appeared on a regular basis. There was once a Muslim emperor who had heard that Tulsi Das was such a great devotee of Lord Rama that he had written about the pastimes in such a way that even those who knew all of Rama's pastimes were surprised to get to know more details. Now, then one time, the emperor asked Tulsi to come to his town, to his court in Delhi, and show a miracle. Tulsi was summoned. When he came to the court, he said to the emperor very boldly, "I am just a devotee of Lord Rama. I cannot show any miracles to you." At this, the enraged emperor threw him into a prison, but then a miracle happened. Lord Rama always protects his devotees, and what happened is that hordes and hordes of monkeys attacked Delhi. There were millions of monkeys. They were all over, and these were monkeys which had not been seen up to that time in Delhi. They dismantled the whole city. They were tearing down walls. They destroyed roofs. They were no less powerful than the armies of Lord Ramachandra. In fact, the Lord must have sent these monkeys to help the great Saint Tulsi Das, and Tulsi was then released from prison. The emperor said, "Enough, enough, enough, enough. Good enough, America." So the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra are very, very known, and they play in the hearts of the devotees of Lord Ram. And therefore Shukadev didn't think it is necessary to expand on them in great detail, because, you know, half of the time, 3.5 days or so, were already spent, and only 3.5 more days were there for Parikshit Maharaj to live. And Shukadev Goswami now got in a hurry. He wanted to talk about his Ishta Devata, the Lord of his heart, that is Krishna. So he said, "We make it brief with Lord Ram." Today is Lord Ram's appearance day, and I would like to take two of the oceans of pastimes from Lord Ramachandra, and then end with a poem which I have written today, and I don't know how good it is, but I will present it for your reading. The first pastime I would like to narrate is about the meaning of selfless love. What is this? I think we all remember how Dasharath had banned Lord Ramachandra and sent him into exile for, I believe, 13 years, is it? Or 14 long years. And Lord, this happened just a day before the planned coronation day of Lord Rama, which would make him king over Ayodhya. So Lord Ram accepted the order of Dasharath on his head, who out of grief was a political intrigue which forced him to exile his beloved son, who out of grief died with the name Ram, O Ram, on his lips. His heart had broken when he had been forced to send his son, who was the Lord, into exile. And to install the second older Bharata as the king of Ayodhya. Bharata was not present when that happened. When Lord Ram went into exile, Bharata had been, by some political intrigue, he was somewhere five tages with it, you know, days' ride. He was a very I do not know. Wife is Shakji, Shaka. I do not know if this will be very good for your little child to tolerate such a boring lecture. So if he makes sounds of discontent, please definitely take care of him. Yes. So thank you so much. My God, this is very beautiful guy. In Russia they all applaud when a garland is given it. That's not what I said. And, you know, when there are like 20 guests of Anna, there is really no time to lecture. It's just one applause after the other. I'm trying to convince the boys to do it all one time, but habits are, and traditions are difficult to change, even if they don't make a lot of sense. So Bharata was informed. He was 5 days riding away, and he immediately came back to Ayodhya, and from there went with the royal army to Lord Ram in order to convince him to take charge of the empire. He didn't want to accept the position of emperor in the presence of Ram. So it was a very, very moving discussion took place. Janaka, the father of Sita, was informed. He would be the referee, or is it the Schiedsrichter, referee, yeah, of the discussion which would take place, and then give his definite order at the end of the discussion. Should Ram stay in the forest, or should he accept the crown from Bharata? The rishis came, the royal army came, and a part of the forest was cleared for very important discussion on love. First, Ram was asked to state his intention. Lord Ram said, "Since my father has ordered me to go into the forest, I consider it my supreme dharma to follow the order of my father. Then Bharata was asked to speak, and Bharata cried and he said, "My dear brother, I know that you are a dharmic person, but I am also. I have been given this crown by a political intrigue. You are the most qualified. In your kingdom, the greatest amount of blessings would be that. I beg you, on the order, our father has given the kingdom to me. I am now the right king, and I bestow the kingdom upon you. It is my royal right to do this. Please accept the kingdom on behalf of all the residents of Ayodhya who want you and not me to be the king." So the two parties, other opinions were heard also, but all of them, the Rishis who spoke, they said, "This is right. Dasharat may have given the kingdom to Bharata, the son, his second son, but if Bharata chooses to give the kingdom to Ram, then Ram should accept it because the residents of Ayodhya wish it. And it's totally dharmic. It's as if someone, it's as logical if Vrindavan Bihari should choose to give me this recording device, which is in his belonging. I think it's yours. It's Sahiyat's. If he chooses to give this to me and gives me also full rights on the ownership of this recording device, then I can, in theory, give this recording device to anyone I feel is fit to receive it. That is what it means when something changes ownership. So the kingdom had been bestowed upon Bharata, and there was no question. So Janaka went, Maharaj Janaka was asked to make the final decision after all this discussion. He went into deep meditation, and when he came out of the meditation, he said, "Yes, the kingdom can go to Rama, and Rama should accept the kingdom. He should not go to the forest." Bharata was, "I've won the argument, I've won the argument." Janaka has confirmed it. But everyone went, "What is there any but?" But we are moving in the dimension of love. And in this dimension, other laws count. Bharata needs to learn a lesson about love. Because Rama has the wish to obey the order of his father. And yes, he should take the king, charge of the king, but he wants to follow Dasharat's order. Dasharat is now dead. He left his body and he cannot revoke his order because of leaving the body. And although by the law Ram should take charge of the kingdom, by the law of love, which is a different law, Bharata should please his brother and see what he wants. Bharata's word sank at that moment in the ocean, and it came out anew. Bharata had made a request which was based on what he liked, and that sank in the ocean. But what came out new was a new understanding. What does Rama like? My dear devotees, this Bharata had to agree, and Bharata, Lord Ram, was very pleased when he saw that his brother was not urging him any longer to do what he did not want. And in order to please his brother, he stepped down from his sandals. He never accepted another pair of sandals out of love. As long as Lord Ram was in the forest, he went barefoot. He gave the sandals to Bharat. Bharat took the sandals with him and brought the sandals to a little village before Ayodhya. It's called Nandigram, the village. And there he placed the sandals of his beloved brother on a pedestal, on a higher raised platform. And whenever he had any doubts how to make difficult decisions in political matters, he went before the sandals. He sat there in deep meditation, and it is said that the lotus feet of the Lord, represented by these sandals, told him everything he needed to know to make his decision. On that day, my dear devotees, Bharata was initiated into the laws of the transcendental world, the laws of love. In the laws of love, you do not wish to think what will please me. All your attention goes to what pleases the beloved. Rupa Goswami, when asked to define what is the highest bhakti, Uttama Bhakti, gives this definition: Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Kamadya Navitam Anukulyena Krishna Anu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. That is called bhakti, which is done for the pleasure of Krishna in a favorable mood without any other desires. No? And the desires are specified, nothing for one's own personal enjoyment, and also not for the enjoyment of and the pleasure of becoming free from samsara, birth and death. No, bhakti is called the love to please Krishna, or in this case to please Lord Rama, and not ask him to please our plan. This, my dear devotees, is something which we do not wish to lose in modern times. This simple act of doing something for the pleasure of Krishna. Gayena vacha manasendriyavai buddhyatmanas vanushriteyasvabhava karoti yat yat sakalam karomi narayana yeti samapayatvam. The devotee prays, my Lord, what I do with my intelligence, what I speak with my words, what I perform with my body, let all this be done narayana yeti samapayatam tvam, as an offering for the pleasure of the Lord. Nowadays, it's very difficult to ask devotees to do something for the pleasure of someone else. Nowadays, even sometimes those who are gurus have reported that when the disciples see something or do, not see something, when the disciples feel that there's something where the guru doesn't please their desire but asks something of them, which was not the immediate plan, then they become perturbed and unsatisfied. Or in nowadays, we were discussing this. Everyone thinks, how can I situate myself in what is my dharma, my life? I feel this is necessary to strengthen us, but then what? Then we must do some selfless service for the pleasure of the Lord. This is the lesson Bharata had to learn, and the Lord taught him this lesson on the day which was Bharata's most heavy day and most blissful day, because he really didn't want to rule the kingdom in the absence of Ram. Can you imagine? I mean, you all know the story very well, how Kaikeyi, you know, had asked this of Lord Dasharatha, and Dasharatha had to grant this her request to send Ram into exile. You all know the political things and the unpleasant things. I don't need to remind you of this. That is a very important lesson. I wanted to talk about something else today, which is very close to my own heart. There was one late disciple of a great saint whose name was Matanga Muni. Matanga Muni lived next to the Pampa Lake. It's a huge lake called the Lake Pampa. It's here on the near this lake where Lord Ramachandra met Hanuman. So when Matanga became very old and could not move his body on his own any longer, he called one day his female disciple Shabari to him and said, "Shabari, it's the evening of my life. When night sets in 1 or 2 days, I will have to report to Yamaraj." So wonderful. Thank you for this light enhancement. One of these chandeliers, Naveen Krishna, is as expensive as the crown of the Queen of England. Most properly. So, but, said Matanga, "I will be gone in 1 day or 2 days, but you, Shabari, should stay. And even if you feel very old, don't die. I give you this blessing that you can decide when you give up your body. In times to come, Lord Ramachandra, who will be exiled by Dasharatha, will come to the Lake of Pampa, and when he will understand your great devotion to him, and he will come and visit this ashram which I have built with my own hands. And this will be the perfection of our ashram when Lord Ramachandra puts his soft feet into the ashram." Do you know how Ramachandra would walk through the forest? What was his footwear? Nothing. Barefoot. Why?
Because he left his shoes there.
He left his shoes for Bharata. Yeah, I'm just checking if you're listening. If the soft reddish lotus feet of our Ram come into this ashram will be perfected. Don't forget, you don't have to die. By my blessings, you will be able to keep your life force in the body until that time comes. Saying this, Matanga left in style. Great morning, great Rishi. He can decide when he wants to leave and when he doesn't want to leave, and he can bless others. So Shabari knew from her Guru Maharaj, whom she had implicit faith in, that one day Lord Ram would come to the ashram. She didn't feel very qualified because there were so many other rishis with their hermitages around the bank of the Lake Pampa. But having faith in the prophecy of Matanga Muni, she prepared herself to welcome the Lord. And because she was simple, simple person, Shabari means a forest, a tribal woman, you know, she served the Lord every day with two services. One is she was cleaning the forest path because she had heard he would come barefoot and there should not be any thorns and any pebbles on the forest path. And two, she prepared a simple meal of berries. Now in order to prepare this, she bit into the berries to determine whether they were sweet enough to be offered or too sour. The sour one, she spat to the side, and the sweet one, she put into a sweet, half-bitten berries, and she put into a bowl. And every evening, she would find the berries in the bowl, and Noodle Rama had not yet come. Many years passed, and the rishis in the different ashrams who saw each day this elderly woman just arranging the forest path thought that the pain of the departure of Matanga Muni, you know, the pain which that left in the heart of Shabari, was so big that she had lost her good sense. If the Lord comes, he will not come into a Mataji ashram. She will come where we are and with our disciples, not where this deserted ashram of Matanga Muni is. But Shabari continued every day to sweep the path which led directly to the ashram. And every day she would prepare her unusual feast for Lord Ram. One day she heard a voice, "Shabari, I have come." She looked in the direction of the voice and she saw Lord Ram with a greenish hue like Dharba grass coming down the forest path which she had just swept in the morning. She saw how his lotus feet were walking on the ground, and she was extremely pleased to receive the Lord in the ashram of Matanga Muni. She had prepared that morning another bowl of half-eaten sweet berries and gave them to the Lord, who looked at it, recognized that this was a tribal feast, and accepted it. I don't know if you know tribal foodstuffs. Tribal food in some areas they pre-chew the food. You know, we sometimes pre-cook rice and then so that it goes faster. Pre-cooked rice is there, and it's half boiled. Then somehow they package it, and then instead of boiling for 30 minutes, you only need 10 minutes to boil it, so that it's good. So pre-cooked rice is there. But tribals do pre-chewed food. for a lot of enzymes, and it's the pre-digestion starts on the tongue, and then they give you the, if they love you, they give you that broth, and you can eat it for your eating pleasure. It is available for your pleasure. Tribal customs. So Shabari was from that type of social background, and that was her food. Half eaten. It is socially acceptable amongst tribal people. Prabhupada, by the way, has said we should not offer Krishna pre-cooked rice. And most of it, that means you don't have to also offer tribal food. But there was an offering of that. So, it's a very unusual offering. And ate with pleasure. Then Shabari said, "My Lord, I have one desire." "What is your desire?" said Ram. "While you are in my presence and your soft reddish lotus feet can be seen by myself, I wish to leave my body." Ram said, "In the evening." In the evening, Shabari brought wood, sat down like a perfect yogi there, looked at the lotus feet of Ram, who stood there blessing her, and while she chanted Ram, 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 which happens to be also the Agni Bija, Agni, Lord, is the Lord of Ram, Sita, fire burst out of her. It comes from this area. Soon covered her whole body and blissfully covering, chanting Ram, Ram, Ram. Shabari left for the eternal Ayodhya. These were other times when death was not seen as the end of human existence, but as just simply one of the many, 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 many evenings which we have experienced. Evenings which give way to new awakening at dawn. This is the times when there was different, much higher understanding of how we are not the body than we have at, in this age. There appears a verse in the... What I like about this story and why I'm telling this to you is because I think it is connected to the first Leela. It is a story of loving devotional relationship. Shukadev Goswami, who's all about that, prema bhakti, love of Godhead, and who represents the central message of the Bhagavata, he says, Nedam yasho ragupate surya yakya jata lilatano adhika samyavimuktatamna raksho vado jalari bandhanam astrapugai kimtasya shatruhanane kapaya sahaya. Lord Ramachandra's reputation for having killed Ravana, the showers of arrows, at the request of the demigods. Lord Ramachandra's reputation is famous for having built a bridge over the ocean, does not constitute the factual glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose spirit bodies always engage done these superhuman activities like building a bridge over the ocean or defeating the one who makes the whole universe cry, Ravana. No, Prabhupada says that the Supreme Lord has nothing to do, and no one is found to be equal to or greater than Him. For everything is done very naturally and systematically by His multifarious energies. The Lord has nothing to do. You know, it's not that He has to work very hard to build a bridge and to over the ocean made with stone, or that He has to do a great struggle in order to fight Ravan. And it's so simple for the Lord. It happens with His energies, which just come out of His body. His real glory, according to the Bhagavatam perspectives, is this loving exchange with the devotees. Here's a verse. After completing the sacrifice, it's an Agnihotra sacrifice for 13,000 years, Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet were sometimes pierced, that means he had no shoes, whose lotus feet were sometimes pierced by thorns when he lived in Dandakaranya. After he had done the sacrifice, he placed those very lotus feet in the hearts of those who all would think of him. Then he entered his own abode, the Vaikuntha planet, beyond the Brahmajyoti, Ayodhya Dham. So, Lord Ramachandra places his lotus feet, his soft lotus feet, into the hearts of those who all would think of him. This is Lord Ramachandra's true glory, that he appears before his devotees and he is ready to engage in a loving relationship with him. And this subject I've taken as a theme for a little poem written for Lord Ram on Ram Navami. You must know that after Lord Ram, Sita and Lakshman were sent into exile, they visited many ashrams. The first ashram they visited was the one of Valmiki Muni, which was in the forest. And very sweetly they approached Valmiki Muni and said, "Venerable Superior, Venerable Rishi, please advise us in which place should we stay?" So before Valmiki Muni sent them off to go to Chitrakut, at the mountains of Chitrakut. Is this true? Is this a mountainous area, Chitrakut? Anyone knows? No? Maybe I have to check that on the internet. Before he sent them off, he gave them a very nectarian answer. The answer was, stay in the loving hearts of your devotees. And I would like to ask you to...
Thank you.
from the manasa lake of your glories, where the birds of your protection, and if you know where swans like to go to the lake, and where it's slowing down the cars. So you should stay in your house, those who want to pick up the birds of your protection. Reside, my Lord Ram, in the pure mind of those whose nostrils devotedly breathe in the lovely fragrance of flowers, incense, and scented oils of the Creator. May you stay in the hearts of those who smell the incense, flowers, and oils of the Creator. Live in the thoughts of those whose prayers submissively at the sight of the deity, Guru, Vaishnava, or Brahma. You might feel that this person sometimes comes, and if you bow down to question, he may come into your heart. Abide in the heart of those whose hands perpetually worship your lotus feet, who cherish faith in you alone and no one else, and whose feet carry them to the holy places sacred to you. You should be in the heart of those who worship you, who move on sacred pilgrimage to Chitrakuta, Ayodhya, and the places. Stay in the heart of all those who are ever engaged in chanting your name, the king of all sacred mantras, and who, having done all this, ask for only one luminous reward, devotion to your feet. Stay in the heart of those. O Ram, your devotees regard you as dearer than life. Your master companion, father, mother, and guru for them. Whatever virtues to them your devotees possess, they attribute them to you, and they hold themselves alone responsible for all mistakes and sins done in your service. For your sake, O Ram, your devotees have renounced wealth, good reputation, relatives, and a happy home. For them, heaven, hell, and liberation from birth and death is all the same. For everywhere they look, they see only you are with gold and crown. O Ram, enthrone yourself in the temple of the heart of those who never ask for anything but are devoted to you with simple devotion, because it is there where your eternal home is. After completing the sacrifice, Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet were sometimes pierced by thorns when he lived in the world, placed those lotus feet in the heart of those who already came. So, where should Lord Ram live? He lives in the temple of the heart of his devotees. Where should he go? He should go to the heart of the devotees. And he has always, this is the power of bhakti, he is always and at each time followed this blessing, this sacred aura of Valmiki, who is like his very, very dear devotee, who has manifested the Ramayana in this world. I must say, when writing this, I took help from a similar poem written by Tulsidas. Just took the things and extract the things. This is the poem of Yashad Mandala. Is it all right? So, I have told Gadadhar that we will end this program at 8 o'clock, and we have 2 minutes before 8. Maybe we can just go a little bit over the time. If you have any questions about either not the official is the first of the people. Let us see if you have any questions either on Lord Ramachandra's pastimes in general. Maybe you would love to hear another pastime, or maybe you pastime of Lord Ram is the one who is really very good suited is Radhanath Maharaj. I have heard him sitting down for 6 hours and just telling in a very enlivened way and enlivening to all others this past night. So, yes, let us see. Do you have any questions? Chita could belong to a mountain area, then we can keep that in the board. Thank you very much. I thought that was like this, but I have. You, by the mercy of the internet, you found it? Yes, Sahirji.
Thank you for your class, Maharaj. I think a few days ago I was just listening to a class, and the devotee was talking about how we can only get love for Krishna by following the footsteps of the great souls. But I was wondering, what does that really mean? Like, how do I apply that in my life? Like, how do we follow the footsteps of the acharyas or senior devotees? Can you clarify that?
Srila Bhishma, the question was, so I heard that in a class that love of God can be only had by following the footsteps of the great souls. Now, what does this practically mean, and how do we apply this? And it's a very good question. You know, we have been turned away for countless times, time immemorial, from Krishna and love of Krishna, and therefore we do not find in our conditioned psychology the feeling of love of God. It's a feeling which is not known to us. It is as unknown as, it's totally unknown. I don't even want to give a comparison, because even when I try to give a comparison, I'm thinking of something which my mind can think, but love of God is unthinkable for the conditioned mind, unfortunately. It can only be had by sadhu sangha, by associating with the devotees, and therefore there is a very wonderful prayer by Muchukunda, the king, who says that at the time when a conditioned soul meets a sadhu, his material life of samsara has ended, because at that time, listen to this, the matihi means inclination, is born in him to serve Krishna. It's transported in him. We see a devotee and we see how he relates to Krishna, and we feel at that time that an inclination in us is born, that let me do like him. No? So this element of doing devotional service, which presupposes an inclination, is not possible to be had in the chemistry, I remember having a very stimulating discussion with Gadadhar once when we were driving by car from the old Veda Academy, which was in Schönau, was just on the banks of the River Elbe, near to Czechoslovakia, the birthplace of Karl Kanter. And we were just going to Berlin, I remember, and there was an article out in Stern, this is a popular German magazine, where it said, in the human, somewhere, scientists have detected the God hormone. It is it is coming from a gland in the brain, and when it is emitted, then people turn godly, you know, and religious. There was a claim of one, by the way, Indian scientist, I think. Do you remember?
Not the name.
But it was an Indian scientist? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
So here it was said that by our biological constitution, we have a love for God. This is not right. What I think we have by our biology constitution is fear of God. That is, when we see the awesome greatness of God appearing in a flashing light, in a flash in nature, or we see how a dear near one in our family is violently taken away by death, we fear, or we maybe appreciate a higher power, but love for this, that's something else. That is a bhakti tradition, which is from above, which is given from there. It is, must be given. And it happens through devotees. And what it means is you must associate with devotees, and now comes Sahil. If you are opposed to devotees, it means it doesn't come. You must be favorably inclined towards devotees, and that means you must like to follow in their footsteps, do as they do. Yeah. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes this point that sadhu sangha only works when you don't close your heart to the sadhus. But if you open it by following what they do, and then something of that inclination, it's not yet love, it's just a mati, an inner orientation to turn towards Krishna and serve him, is born. And then as the sadhus see that you are advancing, they may give more of their mercy. And the mercy means just they share what is in their heart. And that comes in your heart. Follow the footsteps. It means a favorable inclination to do service. That's what it means to follow in the footsteps. And then something what is in the sadhu's heart comes there. It is very interesting that this bhakti is a transcendental item, real bhakti. Fear of God, appreciation of God's works in nature, that is something which is there in the biochemical constitution. It can be thought of. But love of Krishna, that prema bhakti, this ecstatic love which has different transformations in the physical realm, that is a given. That's a gift, I wanted to say. That is a gift. Therefore, we are asking the devotees, oh, Krishna is taking rest in your heart. O Vaishnav Thakur, Govinda Vishramitsi takes a rest in his heart. What's Prabhupada, you know, was asked, is he, what is Krishna doing right now? And then he said, and he went introspective, and he said, he's resting. He's resting in the heart. Govinda Vishram. So that Amito Kangal, I am your beggar. Kangal means beggar. I'm running behind you. Krishna, Krishna, Boli. And I'm calling out, Krishna, Krishna. You have the power, Sar, Vaishnava, Sar, to give him to me. And you please give. That is what we think in our bhakti tradition. Because, again, this is something which I'm on the Yoga Expo, I explained this in an interview. It's not, you know, when the yoga people, they always talk about love, and bhakti is love to the heart, a loving emotion. And it gets so sentimental that shivers run up and down our spine. And then we have to inform them, no, bhakti is something else. You have not properly understood. It's good to be kind and so on. That is nice, and congratulations. You don't want to eat your neighbor. But we are talking about something divine. It is something else. It's different. Therefore, what is not in our possession, our body, mind, and intelligence, sahib, that we have to get from outside. And the way it starts really is with the matihi, the inclination. And that is what we feel when we do devotional service and when people come to our sangha. Do you remember the white boys in Radhadesh? They also, I also do like you, they said, and then they sang even songs and they're doing service, because in association that inclination comes. And you may know yourself when you are not feeling inspired, and there's nothing in the world, there seems to be nothing in the world which can inspire you. Go amongst the devotees and inspiration will come back. You can make a test, really. It always works when you go to proper devotees, and don't close your heart, obviously. Good. Anyone else? What about a book question? Yes, Gaurana Taraj.
Thank you very much for my first wonderful presentation on the grounds past nights. I'm wondering, often actually, whenever I read Ramayana, we feel in our ISKCON philosophy, we always hear, Lord Rama is wonderful, but it's the Aishwarya mood, but we should go into a deeper mood as the six Goswamis prescribe. But Radha Krishna should be the center. We often hear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should be also put in the center as well. So I'm wondering, how should we actually deal with Lord Rama in this regard, as often his... It's somehow in Brihadaranyaka Kamrakam we read that Gopama was going through Lord Rama, but then he was passing on to Radha Krishna. So how should we deal with Lord Rama in this regard?
Yeah. The whole question which needs to be answered before is, who is your Ishta Devata, the Lord of your heart? And once you have clarified this question, you have to become Aikantyam. That means you have to focus on him, on the Lord of the heart, because that's the nature of love. Imagine you would find out your wife Shaka loves the mailman also as much as you, then you would think, that's not actually what I was dreaming of as a wife, I'm sorry, maybe it's a very bad example. I hope she's not here. It's unthinkable. It's unthinkable that our Matajis are shaking their head. How could he give such an uncivilized example? Because that's exactly my point. We can't think of this when it comes to love, that there's someone else. It's unpalatable and untasteful. So the devotee will have to determine who is his Ishta Devata and then become Aikantyam, one-pointed in his relationship. Now there's a very nice story of Tulsidas, whom I have talked briefly about. who shows what Aikantyam to Lord Ram means. He reads in Shastras that in Kali Yuga Sanatan Dharma will be spread from Utkala, that is from the Neelachal hill, and he goes to there. The Lord is known as Jagannath, and he goes to Lord Jagannath's temple. Jagannath means the Lord of the universe, expecting Ram to greet him or to give darshan to him from the altar. Instead, when he comes, he looks into the huge eyes and the smiling face of Lord Jagannath and cannot see any similarity. He cannot see this Lord. He's fixed on Lord Ram single-mindedly. And he's so much grieved. He has traveled a long way from Varanasi. It's just, many days, and at that time to travel, there was no fast train or anything. You had to walk by foot or move by ox cart and so on. It was a long journey. He had hoped to again see the Lord of his to see the Lord of his heart on the altar, but he looked into eyes which he had never seen, or so it seemed to him. So he went grief-stricken on foot for 6 kilometers, and then the night became just so dense and dark, he just with tears in his eyes found a resting place under a banyan tree, was a podest, and he fell asleep there. Now meanwhile, Lady Subhadra says to Jagannath, the Odi came, and it is your vow that anyone who comes here must eat prasadam. This is Jagannath Puri, you always get prasadam, you have to eat, it is custom. And he has left you hungry. What will you do now? He's crying under some banyan tree in such village. Jagannath said, I was also moved when I saw him crying, because he expected, he was not satisfied with me. It was a lover's pain in Lord Jagannath's heart. You must give him at least something to eat, said Subhadra. Correct, said Jagannath. And took on the form of a brahmana and brought a huge plate, a plate which hopefully we will all see this evening. Brought a huge plate to Tulsi and said, woke him up. Oh Tulsi, what, I'm not here, said Tulsi, kept on. Tulsi, Lord, your Lord has sent me. Here's something to eat. Depart, play. What? Who? My Lord? Yes, your Lord has sent me. And there is a message. You should look properly before you become mental. What? Tulsi quickly ate. And when it was day, when the morning dawned, he hurried back to the Sri Mandir on top. And as he entered and came close to the altar, he saw Lord Ram on the altar with a huge, with a green complexion. To commemorate this, even to this day, even in the Berlin temple, you can see on Ram's appearance day, Lord Jagannath has a greenish hue. Have you seen? Mm-hmm. With a bow and arrow, he is there. Have you seen with your Toshka Krishna? Have you seen Gadadhar? Yes, previous. It is very, because the Lord is the Lord. One Lord. But to develop love, what this means, this aikantyam quality of love, single-mindedness, which is required. The devotee sees that what is called the Ishta Devata, the Devata of his heart, and worships that. It's a very important concept in bhakti. Very important. The Lord is the Lord. It is described, now comes Vaishnava theology, the example of a moon is given. In the moon, there's a full moon, and there is Braj Krishna with all the qualities. And then comes the same moon which doesn't show all the qualities, called the waning, abnehmende moon. The moon is the same moon, but visible for the eyes of the beholder is a moon without a certain fullness. So Krishna is the most fullest manifestation. The Lila Purushottama Krishna, with all his qualities and which Rupa Goswami has enlisted, there are these four qualities which not even Narayan nor Rama has. And these four qualities, extra special qualities of Krishna, which make him the Purna Purushottama, are extreme beauty, this is Rupa Madhurya, then it is Leela Madhurya, his extreme loving pastimes, where he acts in wonderful ways, very, very attractive. Even yesterday we could not separate Radhika and Nimai from little Krishna. They were captured by the qualities of Krishna. It took all the strengths of Gadadhar to carry them away from the. So, Leela Madhurya, then Venu Madhurya, he plays a flute which is attractive to all creations. Even the Oma is coming from that. And Prema Madhurya. So it's Rupa Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, and Prema Madhurya, the sweetness of his love. That is extra special. It makes him the full moon. And Lord Ram and also Nrisimhadev. Ram and Nrisimhadev are seen by us Vaishnavas in the similar category. So therefore we do also worship them. Our special place is for our Ishta Devata, in whom we have. This is Prabhupada's Ishta Devata is Braj. What do we know about Braj Krishna? But he has initiated us in the mantras which worship him, the Gopal mantra and Maha mantra. It's very interesting. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, the Ram and the Maha Mantra, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari, is not the Ram of, it's not the brother of Krishna, Balaram. It's not the Parushuram. It's not the Ram of Ayodhya. The Ram is Radhika Raman, Krishna. Or Gopi Raman. This is what it means, single-mindedness and all focus. Very important question. Thank you so much. And it's a very important concept, this. And I must tell you personally how I deal with this aikantyam, and it has become more and more clear to me that single-mindedness is necessary in order to get bhakti. And therefore, I have decided in my life to hear more and more about Krishna. and how he does to cultivate that. I've also seen the attachment to Vrindavan Dham, the holy place of Vrindavan, is very important for my bhakti to go. And I go there every year now because I want to die there, if possible, and you know, be focused on that. Otherwise, there's no juice in life. If you don't have love in your life, then love means you need to be single-mindedly focused and oriented. And you know yourself from human love, which is a directional shield. How do we call this in English? You know, there are these shields on the road. Go like this. Signs. Signboards. What?
Traffic signs.
Traffic signs. It says London 12 kilometers this direction, you know. So human relationships may help us to look in this direction. For instance, we have heard the love of Prabhupada said the love of a mother for its child is closest to love of God. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly love of God, but it helps us to understand something of the selflessness of true love of God. No? So the human love can be a Hinweis shield, a signboard. The Sufis are all into this, you know. They talk, when they talk about human love, they mean divine love. Yeah. But also for us. He's our technical wizard. He is so technical we cannot even explain how technical he is. But he's also a Pujari.
Am liebsten war ich Prashad. Das ist der Bass. Die Bodies, dachten wir, waren ganz einfach.
Ja.
Könnte ich?
Wir brauchen noch zwei starke Männer, um die Töpfe runterzutragen, und dann kann es gut gehen.
Das weißt du?
Ja, es handelt sich hier noch um ihn.
Gut.
Ramayana
is so attractive.
Yeah, Ramayana. And you can see it spread beyond the borders of present-day India. If you go to Thailand, the Royal Palace has their Thailandish Ramayana. There are few details are significantly different, but the main storyline is the same. And I heard there are South Indian Ramayans, there's a Bengali version, there are...
Indonesia
has also its own Ramayana. So there are different Ramayans because it's the archetypical story, really. It's the archetypical religious story. Mm. And it's very... And then there are Upanarayans. We remember Atma Tattva Prabhu telling all these delightful details from some Upanarayan. You remember? Bhagavatam, you listen to this. Very, very nice to listen. And very, very good. And the story of Ram is told in countless villages. I have seen in Orissa this Katha culture. In the simple way, yes, of course, the big culture when someone like Murari comes and has an audience of 50,000 people in spellbound silence, you know, when he talks about Ram Katha. Yes, this, but there is also the village culture where this person sits down with the Ramayana talks and by the light of a little oil lamp and six people or four people around listening to the never-ending glories of Lord Ram. And outside of Varanasi, there is the biggest Ram Leela grounds, and I hope one day for don't know, it's not such a strong desire any longer, but they have Ramayana enacted in a place of many, many square miles, and they play that Ramayana. The main actors or actors, you know, I don't know if we should say like this, but they leave one location, and then everyone, you know, few thousand people go with Lord Ram into exile. I read an account by a scholar who saw the performative Ramayana, you know, where it was performed, and he said, and that day there were storms and rains and so on. It was very unpleasant to move with the main personas, you know, to the next, to Chitrakoot, you know. But they walked, and an old man was there, and he interviewed an old man. And he said, "Not too troublesome?" "Too troublesome? My Lord Ram goes into exile, and you ask if this is troublesome for me? He goes for 40 years. He was, in other words, so much absorbed in the Ram Katha he seemed really annoyed by the ignorant question of the Western scholar. Ram is going to exile. I can't bear the moment of separation." In other words, they enter in this Ram Lila into the Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura describes that there was one actor who played Dasharatha so well that on the stage he suffered a heart attack and died. And other actors began, and other people, and then he also says how not only an actor can absorb himself in the Ram Katha, but even viewers. There was one Ram Katha, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura says, which described how Hanuman jumped from the South Indian Ocean to the Sri Lanka in one huge leap. And when this was heard by one participant of the Ram Katha, he started to jump in the audience. And this ordinarily is considered to be impolite. Imagine if Bhagavad Dharma starts to jump around in the lecture, it would be considered to be either impolite or crazy, you know. But that was his desire, to absorb the bhava of the characters of the Ram Katha. This is the power of Katha, and that's why Ram Katha has been going on and will on until the end of this world. I didn't do full justice because I just, you know, it's Sukadev Goswami says it's well known, it's everyone Parikshit, you know it, and many saints have talked about it. I will just briefly talk about it. So I just picked two episodes from this. It's very interesting to study also how Ram Katha goes into Krishna Katha, how the figures, you know, the washer, for instance, was reborn in Krishna Leela as Kamsa's washer. Mm-hmm. And just like he had offended Ram, he was now offending Krishna when Krishna wanted to have the clothes of the king. Mm-hmm. You know. At this time, his washer mentality reached fruition because Krishna mercifully killed him. He went back home back to Godhead. Yeah. He didn't have to live with that terrible apparat any longer of having talked bad about Sita and Ram. Good. I suggest we end our discussion here. I thank you very much. And Gadadha was right. We went over time, but only half an hour. Sri Rama Chandra ki Jai. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai. Oh, we just have not. We can't end here. We can't end here without mentioning Hanuman. How will Ramkatha without Hanuman ever be fruitful? This year, I understood something. Not last year, I understood something about Hanuman. We were doing a Govardhan Parikrama, and then a wonderful devotee came by. I think he's, you remember the sadhu, he's a Rambhakta, isn't it? Or
Ram Hanuman.
And everywhere he found a deity of Hanuman or near Govardhan, which I didn't know. And he was very much, you know, in Radha Kunda, that was the first Hanuman. I had never paid attention to him. And he just stood before Hanuman. Then at Govardhan was another Hanuman deity, and he put the red sindhu on us. He took every opportunity to go to Hanuman. And later I acquired. And for us Vaishnavas, Hanuman is very important, especially when we want to make a parikrama, because Hanuman is a supplier of unlimited amounts of strength on our spiritual journey. And Hanuman's devotion to Ram is just something else. One time, Ram was like this in the morning. And he didn't close his mouth. He didn't close his mouth. He couldn't close his mouth. And everyone asked, my dear Lord, but it's very bad for the jaws, you know. Ram just couldn't close his mouth. Then they asked, my dear Lord, some dysfunction, something is. Pointed to Hanuman, he couldn't speak because his. And he said, oh, Hanuman. This means stop Hanuman. What had happened? Hanuman, after he had served Ram in reclaiming Sita, had gone to Lord Ram and said, I need some service, my Lord. But all the positions were already distributed, and I want the service to be near to you. I said, okay, said Ram. Hanuman, you know, in India there is one custom: when you yawn, you flip like this to avoid the and ghostly elements or negative elements enter you. So Ram said, you could do this service, you could be next to me, and whenever I yawn, you can do like this, then I don't have to do it. This will be your service. That's the only service left. So Hanuman was there, but he wanted to satisfy, to just wait for the occasional once a day yawn. You know, he just the whole day, and you be like this, and then Lord Ram, in order to reciprocate, yes, and then shut his mouth the whole day. He was just yawning in order to reciprocate the loving devotion of Hanuman. Hanuman is the body of Ram. Once, Krishna said, who wanted to teach about Ekanti Bhakti, said to Garuda, you come and bring Hanuman to have my darshan. So Garuda flew where King Purusha Vash, where Hanuman is still doing deity worship of a huge deity of Lord Ram, and said, Krishna of Dwaraka wants to see you. Who? Said Hanuman, I'm not able to come just now, I'm busy with my puja. What? Said Garuda, you are daring to decline an invitation by my lord. And he took his talons out, I believe he's a clown, to grab Hanuman and bring him by force to before Lord Krishna. But Hanuman was stronger, and finally when Garuda became just so super aggressive, he just took his tail gave him a slap, so that Garuda was thrown back all the way into Kim Purusha Vash to Dwarka. He went to Krishna and said, he wouldn't come and I couldn't bring him. And Krishna said, you tell him Ram is now calling him. He has reappeared in Dwaraka. See what he does. So Garuda came to Hanuman, gave him this information, and immediately, faster than the mind can think, Hanuman jumped and towards Dwaraka in one big leap. But meanwhile, Krishna knew that Hanuman was coming, and he changed into Ram and told Balaram to change into Lakshman. Then he told Satyabhama, his dearest queen, to change into Sita, but she didn't want to. She wanted to remain Satyabhama. You can't ask me to take another role in relationship to you. I'm always your Satyabhama. Very strong love, you know, very resistant, you know. Don't argue with Satyabhama. Strong. Then Krishna quickly turned to Rukmini. Rukmini, your most, please tell him to see that there will be trouble if he doesn't see his Ishta Devata. At that moment, when Rukmini changed, Hanuman landed. They asked, what? My Lord Ram, what do you... what do you want? And Ram said, I just wanted to see you. It's all right. Any service for me? No. Not at this moment. You can continue your deity service. And then he continued with his deity service. It's very amazing when I saw that Hanuman Bhakta, how he related to Hanuman. See, for you and me, the danger is that these are just entertaining stories and remain entertaining stories because we have not yet thought about Aikantyam, fixing our mind on our Ishta Devata, which is only then when love appears in the heart. It's almost like this, when you take a magnifying glass and you bundle the sunlight into one single point of sunlight, then a straw will catch fire. Oh? Only then. Have you seen that, children, maybe you've done? You know, my friend once burned a huge barn to ashes by this method, you know. You have done? Krishna Krishna, no? You have done?
Yeah,
to go like this. It also works with a glass, you know. Then the fire can come. So by bundling light, then something can appear. So in the same way, you need to bundle your love all over the place with your love, then, or with your attention, then that love will not come. And when you hear Krishna Katha, it's just some lifeless story which you have heard again. I mean, when you see the Hanuman and Ram Bhaktas in India and how they serve, how the old ladies, you know, with tears in their eyes, you know, this always strikes me so much when these old widows take these few paisas which they have in the corner of the zari, and they take them out, come to the temple and just throw it to the deities. You know, this is they are in a relationship. You know, they give their Lord a few paisas. That's all they have, but they insist on it. And you would say, "No, keep it for yourself. You're so hungry and so needy, and you don't even have money to buy medicine." You know, it would be terrible for the lady to hear. No, I must get it. And this is what I feel we here in the West have to learn a little, to bundle our love, to put our attention a little bit more. And that's why Bhurijan Prabhu and myself have decided to give these Govardhan retreats. And there since last year, I only give Krishna Katha. I'm already preparing the next one. Because when devotees hear there, in that environment, it becomes something more than just a story. It becomes a relationship to the Lord. Good. So, now we should end. And how are you? Awake and well? Or... They left at 3 o'clock in the morning. The inhuman schedule. Hare Krishna. Shri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki.